This is PFW in progress.
For the double cheese and sausage.
Right here, dude.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Brian Morey.
Having some food.
Paul Perillo.
You're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know, I've been thinking about this. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Andy Hart.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Frank the Tank.
All I need are some tasty waves. It's cool buzz, and I'm fine.
PFW in progress.
Oh, gnarly!
And welcome to PFW in progress, live from the Team Hotel in St. Augustine, Florida, just south of Jacksonville, site of Super Bowl 39, where just in about 48 hours, the Patriots will be taking on the Eagles. For all the marbles, I'm joined by Frank Tadick here. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number, 904-940-6569. That's 904-940-6569. And that email address one more time. We already have a whole bunch. We'll get to them right away. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Frank, how are you doing today?
Fred, I'm good. You know, all of a sudden we're down to 2 days and counting.
2 days and counting. And you've been covering the Eagles camp for the entire week.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't from New England, if you hadn't been covering the Patriots all year and knew what the Patriots were about, you know, would you say that the Eagles are a confident bunch, and should they be confident in, you know, give us your impression of them coming in as someone who's been covering them?
That's almost exactly my impression just from being around them this week. From the veterans all the way down to the guys who kind of have never really been through the postseason experience before, these guys are very confident. And when you ask them about it, they get a little offended. And I guess I really can't blame them when you go past their record over the last 4 years. But from Jeremiah Trotter to Corey Simon to Donovan McNabb, these guys legitimately feel like they belong here. And I think that's kind of been the overriding feeling covering the team this whole week. If someone were to ask, I would say they feel like they belong. And they're not afraid to say it, Fred.
Yep. Well, I mean, they should. They're a good team, and you know, one of the top teams in the NFL. They definitely are one of the most talented teams in the league. So this should be a good game. The question is, you know, how good are the Patriots? You know, they seem to always surprise us, but should they? You know, whether it's dismantling the best offense of the league or scoring 41 points on the best defense, they always seem to do something that, you know, we don't expect, but maybe that's not fair to them. Maybe we should start expecting this stuff now.
I think one of the most interesting aspects of this game is the fact that both teams are so balanced. You're looking at two teams who really are good at everything and not just one-dimensional teams in any aspect, and that includes special teams as well. And, I think predicting what's going to take place in this game is a little difficult because if one aspect of an offense or defense is shut down, these teams are good enough that they can adjust on the fly.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Now, today was Friday, which means the entire team and coaches aren't available as they were the last 2 days. But as custom, today everyone goes down to either the NFL headquarters or, as it was today, the media center of the NFL. And each head coach does his final press conference with the Lombardi Trophy mm-hmm. sitting out in front of him,
mm-hmm.
and that is followed by the commissioner, Paul Tagliabue, who does his State of the League address. That started at 11:30, and it's still going on as we speak.
Kind of an annual event leading up to the Super Bowl.
That is an annual event. So a little later, we're hoping that Brian Morey and Andy Hart will be back, and they'll have a report from the commissioner's address. But it was interesting. Andy Reid had his press conference this morning. Was it 8 o'clock that he came on?
Yeah, it started at 8:30, and it lasted until 8:39.
8:39, he came
in. Then it was over.
Fielded seven questions, 9 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then left.
And it was
posed with the trophy, and then left.
Yep.
Now, on the other hand, Belichick started his at 9:30, fielded a number of questions, but not necessarily refused, but walked off the stage without posing with the Lombardi Trophy, and that was notable by a lot of people there.
Well, there's no question that he had no intention of stopping by the trophy to take pictures, because he turned to his left to exit the stage and walked right by.
I think that's a great move, and it's not like Bill forgot. I mean, he's done this is now his third time.
Yeah, this isn't new to him.
He knows the process. I remember in the Super Bowl against the Rams in New Orleans, Mike Martz was the first coach to do his press conference on Friday, basically then fondled the trophy, you know, rubbed it all over his body.
Getting as close as possible as he could to that trophy.
I mean, it was almost like an X-rated movie, what he did with that trophy. And then Belichick followed him and refused to touch the trophy.
Right.
Would not put lay his hands on the trophy. I like that.
You know, we talked about this off the air, Fred. It's going to be interesting to see how fans perceive Belichick's move on not posing with the trophy today. Because on one hand, people could say it was kind of a jerk move and something, you know, on that nature. Other people might think it's kind of classy and that he doesn't want to be near the trophy unless they win it. So I'm interested to see what fans think about this.
Well, I'm sure in his mind, it's silly. You know, why pose with something that you haven't won yet, that, you know, both teams have an equal shot at? You know, it makes no sense. What's it used for?
Right, but at the same time, at the same time,
you pose with the trophy after you've won it.
At the same time, it's just a very customary thing that coaches do leading up to the Super Bowl, and that everyone else does year after year after year.
Well, as you know, has been the case throughout Bill Belichick's career. Just because people have done it before, just because it's customary or the norm, doesn't mean he's going to do it if he doesn't think it's the right thing to do.
Exactly.
So
you couldn't say it any better than that.
Absolutely. So now here we are on Friday, waiting for this thing to go. Just give people a little backdrop of what's going down here at the team hotel. Yesterday around 4 o'clock, all the buses rolled in with all the players' families and friends and rest of the Patriots staff, as well as clients and sponsors that have bought trips. And, you know, all of this hotel went to relatively quiet to bubbling and jumping with excitement. And just like that,
it kind of changed the whole feeling of Super Bowl week when the rest of the crew came in.
You really get the feeling now that something special is about to happen.
Exactly.
There's people all over with merchandise and looking for autographs and, you know, trying to get their tickets. And
well, every shot you see of the local news stations doing their 10 o'clock news, whatever, is the backdrop is all fans.
Sure.
Cheering.
You know, so the lobby is just a buzz right now. It's sort of like Patriots Central. People are coming in and out and being dropped off, and I'm sure it's the same way at the Eagles Hotel right now. So this is what it's all about. This is what Super Bowl week is, and later on, I know a lot of the staff will be going down to check out NFL Experience. We'll have photos up from that. We'll have some video, and we'll show you a little bit of Superfest, which is what they're calling the area of Jacksonville Landing that they've dressed up for the Super Bowl. So we'll get a feeling of how good a job Jacksonville is doing for this Super Bowl.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's going to be all through the week. One of the stories has been that Jacksonville hasn't been the best location for the Super Bowl, Fred, but I'm interested to see how downtown looks tonight, because this is really the grand ball from tonight on,
right?
And how we can judge and how Jacksonville did.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The phone number is 904-940-6569.
Give us a call on our request line.
That's Dave Dudek, and he's manning the boards. Wanted to make sure everyone knew that. What's going on, Dave? Anything? Anything good?
No, not too much, Fred.
Not too much?
Just making sure everything works over here.
Did you get your Super Bowl ticket?
I did.
FedExed out?
And it's hopefully on its way.
You're all set. So life is good, right?
Yes.
No worries?
No worries.
Okay, good. Good. You got lunch now's, coming up soon?
Now's party time.
Lunch is coming up soon?
Hopefully.
Okay, good. All right. So let's get to some emails. Unless, Frank, you've got some other news or nuggets that you want to
not really,
throw
you know,
out there?
Being that it was a 9-minute press conference this morning, not a whole lot came out of Andy Reid's mouth today. But he was asked a few Terrell Owens questions. The most notable thing in my mind is he stopped short of saying that Terrell will play.
Right.
He hasn't said yet this week that he will definitely play. But he did note that Owens made it through Wednesday and Thursday practices, which were a little more difficult practices than the rest of the week. And I guess the prevailing thought from Reed is that Owens is going to go through his pregame workouts on Sunday, and at that point they'll make a decision.
Mm. Well, last night the Crafts held a welcoming party for everyone that came down. It was in the tent that they've been using for the media availability here at the team hotel, and they had a band there, an open bar, and I'd say, I don't know, maybe 2,000 people, something like that. They had a panther in a cage and an alligator, and so it was a pretty good party, I would say. And that's customary as well, that the night that everyone arrives, they have a welcoming party, and a good time was had by all. Dave, what time did you get home?
I think it ended up being around like 11:30.
Were you alone?
No.
Oh, you brought somebody with you?
No. I mean, like, we had...
Well, I asked if you were alone. You said no.
In the process of getting back to the hotel, no.
So you brought somebody home with you?
No, I brought the other guys home with me.
You brought guys with you?
The car.
And the story gets more and more...
I don't understand. You brought a car with you?
My coworkers. Back, you know, since we're not staying here at the team hotel anymore, we, you know, all had to... pile into one of the cars, and
so none of them.
So you piled into the car with a bunch of guys.
But you know what I mean by taking someone home with you.
No, I did not take someone home with me.
Okay,
is what you meant.
All right,
you need to clarify these things.
Yeah. Then. Okay, yeah. That's all I was wondering.
Yeah. No.
All right. You got any prospects for down here?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Nope.
Okay, but you're available.
As of right now, yes.
So if you go to Dave Dudek right now, you can put in your resume, and Dave will screen those, and if he's interested, he'll get back to you, right?
That's right.
All right. Being a good cook helps, right? Is that what you're looking for?
Yep.
Someone to cook for you?
No, I can do pretty well on that front.
Oh, so you'll cook for them?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
Back to football.
All right, let's see. This email comes in from Master Gunnery Sergeant Stephen Gatos. He's a Marine, retired.
Excellent.
Thank you for that. He says, Tom Brady has my vote for MVP for Super Bowl 39. He is a born leader, and he plays every game like it was the start of a new season. He will make it happen. Sorry to hear about his mother. I send all my all to her that God will watch over her. Well, we agree, and... you know, it's a possibility that he will be MVP. But, Frank, I don't know if you were here. We were throwing out who we thought.
Yeah, we went over this topic a little bit yesterday, Fred. Yeah. I think you're on the record as going with Brewski.
I think Teddy Brewski was going to be the MVP of this Super Bowl. I think his time has come. I think he's going to make two or three plays that are going to be pivotal in this game, and it will be hard not to give him the MVP.
I think that as long as Brady's involved in the scoring plays for the Patriots, people would be hard pressed to look anywhere else but a third straight MVP.
That's true, unless it's a real tight game, and because of defensive, you know, I really think it's going to be close enough where defensive plays mm-hmm. are going to be the key, and the Patriots will come up one or two more than the Eagles in that respect, and I think it'll be Brewski that does that. That's why I think he's going to be the MVP.
I triple dog dare you!
I think a lot of times when it comes to MVP voting, the easiest thing for the reporter to do and to fill out his form is just to write B-R-A-D-Y and just hand it in.
I know, but if I'm Cadillac, I'm bribing all the writers not to vote for Tom Brady. They've got a $2 million lawsuit pending, and that's going to be kind of awkward.
Yeah, how's he supposed to shake hands with the fine people from Cadillac?
Right.
He's
going to own that company soon, I mean, the way he's going. Dan from Wilmington, Delaware. Finally, the Super Bowl is almost here. The Eagles will win tonight, tomorrow, and Monday, but not on Sunday. The only Eagles winning this weekend and on Monday will be BC. Basketball.
That's Boston College.
Right. I think McNabb will turn the ball over twice, and that will be the difference in the game. Pats win 24-10. Most of the Eagles fans and media are hopeful that the Eagles will win. Well, why wouldn't they? Last night, the Eagles radio guy said the Eagles will win. They also said the Eagles' lines are better than the Pats' lines. You know what that means? Now that the Pats are the underdog and it's us against the world, we've got them number 37. Not in our house, not in the Pickle Palace, and not in Jacksonville. Jacksonville, go ahead, Teddy. How we feel about them free hats and T-shirts?
Well, I'm not so...
Oh, yeah!
I'm not so sure that a media outlet in Philadelphia picking the Eagles to win makes the Patriots an underdog.
Once again, Patriots fans getting resentful that another team thinks that they might win.
Right, especially, yeah. You know, one thing that happened in yesterday's press conference, Fred, is somebody asked Terrell Owens what the final score would be, what his prediction was, and obviously he took his team, and I think he said 24-21 or 23-20, something like that, and it, you know, no one batted an eye at him predicting his own team would win, so... You know, I think Eagles fans should want to pick their team.
Absolutely.
It's the exact same thing Patriots fans do.
And this isn't, you know, the Patriots might be the overwhelming favorite, but I don't think that they're that much better than the Eagles that, you know, this is a mismatch. It's not a mismatch.
I think last year the prevailing feeling was that the Patriots were a lot better team than Carolina overall. Not even just on that day, but that was such a close game. I think this year's a lot different.
All right, Neil from North Branch, Michigan, runs to Dave Dudek's defense. Says, great week of entertainment. Thank you very much. You make a lot of fans everywhere feel closer to the team and the game. Leave Mr. Dudek alone. today. He has done a good job this week. I think you owe him a beer or two for ripping him all week long.
And I think he'd take it for free.
Well, if that's the case, then I probably owe him a whole bar because I've been ripping him since I know him. So
that's true.
Yeah, who sent that email? Is that a family member of Dave? Because I've never heard anyone come
to
his...
Who is that person?
Neil Portnoy.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe...
Cool. Dude, I call this Portnoy's complaint.
Duder, maybe you could give some of the free stuff that you've accumulated over the years to him for backing you up.
Yeah, all the loads of free stuff I've accumulated over the years.
Well, chips.
Baked Lays. And
yeah, baked Lays.
Gary Gradecki chiming in.
Patriots replica banners.
I thought I'd
treat
our listeners to a little, you know, little bonus here at the end of the week since I couldn't be with them all week.
There you go.
Hi, Jen.
Gary, what have you been up to, Gary?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. Just planning for last night's party that we had, then Sunday night's post-game party, hopefully after a win.
Yeah. Now, but whether or not the Patriots win, you got to have the
party. We're having
right?
a party, as well as a lot of other stuff. It's a big undertaking with all the people that have flown down here, players, families, and guests and all that.
The number of people that you have to take care of just grew incredibly yesterday, I would assume.
Exponentially, yes. Yes. So it's a big undertaking, but third time's a charm. We know what we're doing now.
All right. Let's see. Neil goes on to say, okay, the game, I do not think this will be a high-scoring game. I think the Patriots will win the time of possession as they will run the ball successfully using both Dillon and Faulk. T.O. will be a non-factor. In fact, I think regardless of the denials, he has been a huge disruption to his team this week. Big lack of focus. The keys to winning will be, defensively, the containment of Westbrook, and I bet our linebackers to do just that. Key matchup, the Patriots pass rush versus the Eagles O-line. If they get pressure on McNabb, watch the interceptions follow. Offensively, get the ground game going early and get Daniel Graham into block often. Key matchup, Branch versus the Eagles safeties. You know Brady is going to go deep a few times in this game. Special teams, it would be no surprise to see a field goal win the game either way. Surely Adam is not going to do it again, is he? You know by now the Patriots do not blow teams away, but I think they win by a score of 23-16. I do see this game going right down to the wire. So that's Neil.
There's some good takes by Neil, Fred. I think he's right on in some of his aspects of the game that he's turned to. One thing I'm very interested to see is how the Patriots' offensive tackles handle the defensive ends for Philadelphia. I think that's going to be a key matchup.
Yeah, I think Javon Kearse, I don't think he's quite as good as Jason Taylor. But he's pretty good.
I think he's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, he's in the neighborhood, and Matt Light's going to need some help at times, as does everybody who faces Javon Kearse. And you know, whether it's Jed Weaver or Daniel Graham staying in to help him, the Patriots are going to have to do that. But it's not the first time the Patriots have had to do that with the people they play, like Dwight Freeney and Jason Taylor. So, they've seen this type of pass rush before.
Yeah, and I think it's something they've done all season in taking Jed Weaver and Daniel Graham and maybe even one of the running backs and helping in pass protection. They've been very willing to only set a few receivers out. There's no question.
All right. The phone number is 904-940-6569. Email is webradio@patriots.com. Right now, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
It started in Foxborough with a Ty Law interception against the Titans. It included a Brady to Brown touchdown bomb in overtime at Miami.
And the Patriots win in overtime.
Teddy Bruschi's interception.
Fans are throwing snow.
Playoff wins in the cold. The snow at a second Super Bowl victory. All part of history in the making as your New England Patriots won 21 straight games. NFL Films and the New England Patriots present 21, the true DVD set that is an absolute must for every Patriots fan. Highlights from every game during the historic streak, Bill Belichick's Belestrator, exclusive interviews and bonus features that include the NFL Films feature on head coach Bill Belichick and Patriots owner Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 38 ring ceremony. Watch the world champions' reactions when they receive their rings and celebrate another Super Bowl victory. 21 is available exclusively at the Patriots Pro Shop, patriots.com, and participating Stop & Shop locations. We captured history in the making, and now you can too. Pick up 21 today.
Dunkin' Donuts brings you the Daily Latte Ritual of Stephanie Brown, motivational speaker.
Every morning, I tell the paperboy he could triple the number of people on his route. On the bus, I have all the passengers applaud for the driver. I tell the guitar player on the corner that he should be touring major stadiums. But then, around mid-afternoon, I start to drag. I'm not myself. I want everyone to fail miserably. That's when I know it's time for a Dunkin' Donuts latte. It gives me a lift, makes me feel better, and gets me back to my old self. And then once again, I want everyone to excel. I tell the hot dog vendor he should be selling steaks. I call my grandmother and encourage her to crochet a bigger and better Afghan.
Real espresso, steamed milk, made just for you. When your day needs a lift, have a latte at Dunkin' Donuts and bring yourself back.
Introducing the new cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. Served warm, delicious, and portable. It's the ideal way to start your day. Dunkin' Donuts, bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary, limited time only.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with the Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel. League news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius Boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
And that's the DaveDudick.com official band bringing in the music for us. Thank you, guys. You can stop now. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com, 904-940-6569. Give us a call. We're asking all our regular callers to step us. No, I'm only kidding. If you're a regular caller, you can call. Just want to remind people that this is our last show before the Super Bowl, but win or lose. Well, actually, if they lose, win or lose, we're only going on next Wednesday, right? Yeah. So this is our last weekly show, and then next week we start with our off-season schedule, Wednesdays at noon, noon to 1 on Patriots.com. Everyone's going crazy here about that.
Gary may or may not be cheering.
So that's next week. A couple news items to let you know. Edgerrin James, back hurts. So replacing him on the Pro Bowl roster is our own Corey Dillon. So congratulations to Corey Dillon. He is now in the Pro Bowl and will be going to Hawaii next week after this game. And also the Patriots did, in fact, fill that 53rd man on their roster, on the active roster. They've brought Billy Yates up from the practice squad. Yates is an offensive guard, and so he will be on the squad come Super Bowl Sunday. So the Patriots, everyone was wondering what they're going to do with that 53rd man. It is Billy Yates. So, all right. Oh, and the most important news. I almost forgot. Gary reminds me.
You forgot twice.
Paul Perillo is a father. Paul had his son this morning at 7:30, 8.1 pounds. William Alfonso Perillo. So, mother and son are doing great. Paul is, of course, probably glowing. He is a new father, and I can't get on him for not coming to the Super Bowl anymore, because if he was here, he'd have been in big trouble. So congratulations to Paul. You're probably not listening. I'm sure you have other things to do right now, but all our listeners are excited, and, you know,
woo!
The next in the Perillo family is here.
By the way, if Andy were here, I'm sure he'd make light of the fact that William is going to be nicknamed Fonzie.
Fonzie, yeah.
Fonzie Perillo.
Well, I was thinking we call him Will the Pill.
Yeah.
You know, William Perillo.
And hopefully he'd evolved into Will the Thrill.
Will the Thrill.
When a sports career begins.
Yeah. So that's great news. That news came to us. We were at the media center, and Andy Hart's phone rang.
Maybe I just drink to get
drunk.
And
it was Paul on the line, and I'm a little upset that Paul didn't call me.
Yeah, well, he definitely called his little buddy before he called his boss.
Right. All right, John Calvert writes in, I'm so sick of hearing about T.O. this and T.O. that. I don't understand how that cannot be a distraction for the entire Eagles organization. Just thought I would share some feelings with you guys. By the way, while you guys are down there, you need to take a drive to St. Augustine and eat at Mahi Ma's. It is a little restaurant by the old fort. Enjoy, boys. Wish I could be there.
Do you think that was a shot by John?
No.
Suggesting we go down to St. Augustine?
No, not at all. Why?
Well, because we've been there, and parts of it aren't very nice.
Oh, but there's parts that are very nice.
We'll have to check those out.
I think that's a good tip. We're looking for tips.
We love tips.
It's not like, you know, there's a lot to do down here.
Fred, what's your take on the level of distraction that the Owens thing is causing?
I don't think it's that high.
I don't either.
I really don't. I think they're used to this. I mean, this guy's been on the team all year, and whether it's Nicolette Sheridan or pulling, well, he didn't pull a Sharpie out when he was with the team, but,
right.
You know, the things he's done, that's Terrell Owens.
Right.
They know what they got when they signed him, and he's lived up to that. He's an amazing player. I don't think it's not like he hasn't been doing well. He's contributed on the field, and you know what you get when you have Terrell. I don't think it's a distraction at all.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, is it a distraction? Well, yeah, it is, but is it to the level of distraction that's going to cause anything to happen on the field or change the way they approach the game? No.
No.
They're used to it.
Jason writes in, almost a big day. I see that they moved Billy Yates to the roster and added tackle, a good move of insurance. Where do you think the Patriots are vulnerable in the game? How can Philly win? What ways? What will they need to do to make that possible? Just curious as to your thoughts.
Well, let's start at the beginning.
Well, as Bill Belichick would say, play better than the Patriots.
Score more points.
Right. But if you want to break it down, I think that, you know, what the Patriots want to do, of course, is pressure Brady, try to force him into making some mistakes, the same way the Patriots want to do to McNabb. They're going to probably try to stop the run first, just like the Patriots are going to try to stop Westbrook first. And I think both teams can do it. I think that they're going to, you know, use their zone blitz. Jimmy Johnson will use his zone blitz to maybe, you know, keep the Patriots guessing, not necessarily that there's a blitz coming, but where's that fifth man coming from? You know, change that up. As Bill Belichick said, sometimes they use a little bit of a group rush. You know, sometimes they'll overload an area and blitz from one particular area, making it completely impossible to pick everyone up, but then, of course, making them vulnerable on the other side. So a lot of that will be in Tom Brady's hands. He'll have to recognize all that.
There's no question that Brady's going to be an integral part of this game. And talking with a lot of the Eagles players this week, Fred, and the coaches as well, they've all been saying, we have to hit Brady early, and we have to hit him often.
Yeah.
And we have to pressure him. Anything they can do to get Brady off his rhythm, off his game, is going to be a huge factor. And in doing so, they want to take Dylan out of the game and essentially create a one-dimensional offense and just have everything be on Brady and then create a lot of pressure.
But I think where Philly is most vulnerable is their offense. Whether or not Owens is in, I just don't see their offense as being quite as deep as the Patriots. You know, it's McNabb and Westbrook right now.
Right.
You know, Pinkston, I think you can really change his game. You know, he's going to get jammed. He's already shown that he doesn't really like going over the middle that much. Freddie Mitchell, you know, has had a couple big catches, but he's, you know, he wouldn't be playing unless, you know, there were injuries on the Eagles. Chad Lewis is out. He was one of their best tight ends. You know, so I think the Patriots' defense is going to be able to handle the Eagles. And it's, you know, it's down to McNabb. He's the guy that makes it go.
Definitely.
If he has a great game, they've got a good chance of winning. If he has anything less than, you know, one of his best games, I don't think the Eagles can win.
Yeah, and I would say the same about Brian Westbrook and about the tight end L.J. Smith. I think there's going to be a lot of action in the middle of the field that the Eagles are going to have to succeed on in order to win. You're right. It's going to take a very, very stellar performance from McNabb for the Eagles' offense to move.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons you mentioned the middle of the field. That's one of the reasons why I think Teddy Bruschi is going to be key in this game and why if the Patriots win, you're going to see him being the most valuable player because he's going to be, you know, he'll have 11, 12 tackles in this game, you know, and then, you know, he'll probably have a couple extra plays like a forced fumble or an interception. And, you know, I just have this feeling that he's going to be in on every play, much like he was in the Indy game.
And being in the Patriots press conferences this week, have you gotten any indication that they plan on spying McNabb or how they plan to defend him?
I said that to Brian, not necessarily McNabb, but Westbrook, that they'll probably spy him because of the way that the Eagles use him. Brian shook his head no, but I really think they will. I think they will have a guy always looking at Westbrook, and Brian says, well, they won't guard him the way they did Falk. But that's not the way they did Falk. Falk was just hit by somebody. Somebody was assigned to make contact with Marshall Falk every time he left the backfield when the Patriots played the Super Bowl against the Rams. I'm not saying that they're going to do that with Westbrook. I just think there's always going to be a guy whose main responsibility is going to be Brian Westbrook.
I think I would tend to side with Brian on that. The only reason being that if you're spying Westbrook, that's taking a guy who is not looking at McNabb.
Well, that's true, but here's the thing. If this was a multifaceted team, you know, like the Colts, when they had a deep offense with a lot of weapons, I'd say I can't afford to spy one guy. But I think if you take away Westbrook, there's not much left.
Well, there's still receivers running routes. I mean,
yeah, McNabb
can't go out there and catch him for him, but no. He still has to play his game.
No, I understand, but those receivers are out there, but I don't think they're the kind of receivers that require double coverage, you know. And that, I think the Patriots can handle these guys, and then the key becomes how quickly they can make McNabb have to get rid of the ball. If he's given time to run around, forget it. Any receiver in the NFL will get open.
That's one matchup that I don't think is so much decidedly in either favor as the Patriots offensive line and Eagles defensive line. You know, you can find people during the week who will say that, you know, one is particularly better than the other, depending on which team they're kind of on the side for. But I think that's a pretty even draw.
Yeah, it's a very interesting game. And, you know, the danger here for the Patriots and their fans who are very confident that they're going to win is we don't know really how good the Eagles are. You know, we've seen them play against the NFC. It's, you know, admittedly a weaker conference. Yeah, they had that burp against Pittsburgh where Pittsburgh just absolutely crushed them. But at that point in the season, I think Pittsburgh would have crushed anyone. They were on the top of their game right then and there. They went down. They peaked at that point. But the Eagles seem, you know, after that little break that they took the last two games that they lost, I think, you know, a lot of people were worried that they'd come out rusty. They didn't. They've come out rolling. They're playing very, very good football right now. And, you know, they might just surprise the Patriots. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Patriots come out and all of a sudden they see themselves down by 10 points and Jimmy Johnson's defense starts teeing off and it becomes a very difficult game for the Patriots. But, you know, I'm hoping, you know, knowing that the Patriots have had all this time to prepare, they won't let that happen. But the Eagles are capable of that.
I don't buy into the notion that the Eagles aren't a good team because they come from the NFC one bit. I look at the fact that they have the same record as the Patriots do over the last 4 years. They've been to the NFC Championship game and the playoffs 4 straight years. They have a veteran team. McNabb, Dawkins, Trotter, Kirst, these are guys who are veterans. This isn't an up-and-coming team. This right. is an established
see,
team.
See, I'm not... My point is... They can't help the conference that they play in.
Right.
They play in the NFC. They can't help that. My thing is, I don't know how good they are. You know, it's harder to gauge teams coming out of the NFC than teams coming out of the AFC. So they could be, they might just crush the Patriots. You know, we just don't really know how good they are because of where they came from.
I just think that after a 16-game season and what we saw out of Carolina last year, I just think you have to go in thinking they're a good team, and you know.
Oh, I'm sure the Patriots are absolutely doing that.
Right.
But, you know, I won't be surprised if the Eagles win. I won't be surprised if the Patriots blow them out.
Yeah.
It's just you just don't know.
I think a lot of people are in that same boat though too, Fred. It's hard to picture a scenario where the Eagles blow out the Patriots just because of the problems they've had on offense.
Right, and because of the Patriots, we know the Patriots well enough to know that they just don't get blown
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
With the Pittsburgh game aside, you know, with all the circumstances surrounding that one, they're just not going to let themselves get blown out.
And it would really have to be a scenario similar to the Pittsburgh game where Philadelphia gets out in front early,
yeah.
like a 7 or 10 point lead, and a couple turnovers yeah. change the course of the game.
Yeah, turnovers, injuries, of course, those are the X factors that you don't factor in when you're trying to analyze a game because that's, you know, you can't control that.
But it'd almost take that type of game for the Eagles to score that many points to blow
sure.
the Patriots out.
Eric from Guilford, New Hampshire, love the show. I wanted to know what sort of role Graham, Fourier, and Falk will have in this game. I really feel that these guys are going to figure big against the Philly D. I think that they will give Brady a big boost by allowing him to get rid of the ball quickly. How do you see this?
I see the role for Graham and Fourier and Falk the same as they played all season. I don't expect anything to change at this point. I think the tight ends are going to end up staying in a lot on passing downs to help pass protect, as they have all season. You know, maybe you'll see the one 15-yard catch for first down out of Fourier at a key point in the second half. You know, they've been seeing him in that role. As for Falk, Fred, I think he's going to be a big part of this game.
Yep. Well, I mean, are there any similarities that we can draw between this game and the Colts game? And by that I mean, on offense, the Colts go as Peyton Manning goes.
Right.
Can we say the same thing about the Eagles, that the Eagles go as Donovan McNabb goes?
I think that's fair to say. I think when he plays poorly, they have a very hard time in winning.
So maybe
they don't win many games when he plays bad.
Okay.
And you can say that about any quarterback, but I think it's especially true with Philadelphia when he has poor games. They aren't the type of team that pounds the ball down your throat, and they have trouble scoring enough points to win.
You know, given that, you know, I just think that after seeing what the Patriots could do to a quarterback-heavy team like the Colts, I think that they'll be able to handle the Eagles.
Right.
You know, I just really do. I mean, you have to say that the Colts' offense is better than the Eagles' offense. They've got a lot more weapons than the Eagles have. You know, Edgerrin James is as good, if not better, than Westbrook. Westbrook might be a little faster, but James is just an accomplished runner and pass receiver. I would put up the Colts, you know, squad of wide receivers against anyone's.
Exactly.
And
definitely.
Certainly against the Eagles. And the Colts' offensive line is as good, if not better, than the Eagles. Plus, they've got a couple tight ends that are better than the Eagles. So, you know, and we saw what the Patriots did against the Colts. And that's the type of thing, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, you can't say one game to another. Every team is different. But I think to a certain degree, you can make judgments.
Because they match up differently.
Yeah. I think you can make judgments. You know, if Patriots can do what they did against the Colts, then, you know, they can do this. They can do similar thing to another team that's also quarterback heavy, like the Eagles.
Fred, I really think the one danger for Patriots fans is not to overlook the Philadelphia defense. Brian was on the show yesterday saying that he talked with some Patriots coaches who said, this is by far the best secondary we've seen on film all season.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Eagles defense stops there. They have good linebackers, not great, but they have good linebackers, and they have a great front four with Corey Simon, starting with Corey Simon in the middle. And I believe they finished first or second in points against this season.
They tied with the Patriots for second.
Okay.
So, you know, all these people, you're thinking that the Patriots have, you know, this great defense. Well, that's true. But the Eagles tied for second in the NFL for points allowed.
And I know Patriots fans are going to automatically say, well, look what we did to Pittsburgh. We destroyed Pittsburgh. Well, it can go the other way, too. I just don't want to overlook that Philadelphia defense.
The big factor here, I think, the difference, you know, and I'm trying to draw analogies between the Eagles and the Colts. The big difference is you really don't have to worry about Peyton Manning running with the ball.
Right.
In fact, one of the strategies against the Colts is to get Manning off his spot.
Definitely.
Is to try to get him to move.
You want him to move in the pocket.
Right. And McNabb is different. In McNabb, you want to contain him in the pocket, and you want to suffocate him. You don't want to move him off the spot, and you just want to not allow him to move at all.
You know, it's hard to want to know what to expect in a one-game scenario when you have a rushing quarterback like McNabb. He said this week that, you know, he's not going to be afraid to run at all. I don't know what the Patriots have been saying about trying to stop him, but in a one-game scenario, that worries me a little bit when you have a quarterback who can run like he can run.
All right. We got a lot of emails coming in. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The phone number is 904-940-6569. We'll be right back after this break.
It started in Foxborough with a Ty Law interception against the Titans.
He's gonna go!
It included a Brady to Brown touchdown bomb in overtime at Miami.
And the Patriots win it overtime.
Teddy Bruschi's interception.
Fans are throwing snow.
Playoff wins in the cold, the snow, and a second Super Bowl victory. All part of history in the making as your New England Patriots won 21 straight games. NFL Films and the New England Patriots present 21, the two DVD set that is an absolute must for every Patriots fan. Highlights from every game during the historic streak, Bill Belichick's Belestrator, exclusive interviews and bonus features that include the NFL Films feature on head coach Bill Belichick and Patriots owner Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 38 ring ceremony. Watch the world champions' reactions when they receive their rings and celebrate another Super Bowl victory. 21 is available exclusively at the Patriots Pro Shop, Patriots.com, and participating Stop and Shop locations. We captured history in the making, and now you can too. Pick up 21 today.
Dunkin' Donuts brings you the Daily Latte Ritual of Stephanie Brown, motivational speaker.
Every morning, I tell the paperboy he could triple the number of people on his route. On the bus, I have all the passengers applaud for the driver. I tell the guitar player on the corner that he should be touring major stadiums. But then, around mid-afternoon, I start to drag. I'm not myself. I want everyone to fail miserably. That's when I know it's time for a Dunkin' Donuts latte. It gives me a lift, makes me feel better, and gets me back to my old self. And then once again, I want everyone to excel. I tell the hot dog vendor he should be selling steaks. I call my grandmother and encourage her to crochet a bigger and better Afghan.
Real espresso, steamed milk, made just for you. When your day needs a lift, have a latte at Dunkin' Donuts and bring yourself back.
Introducing the new cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. Served warm, delicious, and formidable. It's the ideal way to start your day. Dunkin' Donuts, bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary, limited time only.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with a Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home. Home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel. League news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius Boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
NFL fans, your trough is open.
This is one time you don't have to watch your appetite.
And welcome back to DFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Frank Taddock joining you until 2 o'clock. Hopefully Brian Moore and Andy Hart will be back soon. They're at the Convention Center, the NFL Media Center. Paul Tagliabue had his State of the League address at 11:30 today and then took questions. That usually goes for about an hour.
I can imagine he talks for quite a while.
Yeah. So, you know, pending traffic, they should be back here about, probably 1:15. So we'll get their thoughts as we close out this last in-season show for PFW Progress. Next week we start our off-season schedule, hopefully on a high note, every Wednesday from noon to 1. So mark your calendars. You can program your computer to wake you up at noon at work and log on to PFW in Progress. Just want to remind everyone that Corey Dillon was chosen to the Pro Bowl today. Edgerrin James is backed out, quote unquote, no pun intended. He's got a bad back, so Dillon's taking his place. And Billy Yates was elevated from the practice squad, and he fills out the Patriots 53-man roster. Yates is an offensive lineman. So lucky for him, all of a sudden you go from practice squad to now being on the sideline with the Patriots during this game.
Do you think he'll be active, Fred?
Well, you know, why would you activate a guy if he's not active?
That's kind of what I was curious about is if he was added to the roster today, it would lead me to believe that he's going to be active for the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that means that somebody that we normally see on the active roster is probably going to be deactivated.
Yeah, could be. So you know, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what that roster is because, as you said, Andy Reid is even admitting that Terrell Owens is a game-time decision.
Exactly.
So, you know,
I'm wondering if the Patriots need – maybe they find a defensive back or a defensive lineman that they would deactivate that they normally wouldn't.
Yeah. All right, Sean McLaughlin, Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Hope you guys are enjoying your time in Hartford, Connecticut. No, I don't know if this place is as good or bad as Hartford, Connecticut, but I just wanted to give you some quick random thoughts and another kudos to you guys for giving us great information and entertainment for the year. One, I think the Eagles are starting to get closer to the hatred I have for the Steelers and Jets, but not close yet. Two, I think Sunday will be a coronation rather than a continuation. I'm in the minority thinking that this is going to be a last trip to the big dance for a while. Three, like to send my condolences to Tom Brady and his family for his loss. Four, like to wish Charlie Weiss and Romeo good luck in their ventures and thank them for the great contributions they made over the years. Five, I'd like to thank Emmett Smith for being the selfish egotistical person he is for stealing some of the Super Bowl thunder. Six, finally, Sunday night we'll be looking at a 38-10 Patriots win. Tom Brady will win his third MVP. If not, look for Teddy Bruschi. And we'll put a cherry on another great Pat season. Thank guys. But for the opening, can we lose the Star Wars theme? Rather have the Pat's parade on.
Ah.
We'll get that Pat's parade
on. A request for show openings.
Hopefully we'll be able to use a new one. The only one I disagree with there, Sean, is number five, Emmett Smith. I don't have any problem with him announcing his retirement this week. I mean, after all, it's not like there's a lot of new news coming out this week. And, you know, while the focus is and should be on the two teams that are playing, I think there's no problem taking a timeout from one of the all-time greats.
No question.
To announce his retirement. And, in fact, I would say this is the week to do it.
No
this
question.
Is the appropriate week to make that announcement. So I'm not sure I agree with you, Sean, on Emmett Smith there.
You know, there's a chance, Fred, that he was just doing it on his own timetable, not really worrying about that it was even Super Bowl week.
Well, I'm sure I'm sure that's a factor. But he's down here probably to see the game anyway. This is where the media is. That's football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's in Arizona or Dallas, either one, all those media are up here. So this is the place to do it.
And
so.
You're not just talking about a Pro Bowl player. You're talking about one of the not only the best running backs ever to play in this game, but probably one of the best overall players. You know, one of the best players, especially in the last 20 years.
He's the all-time leader, rushing leader for the NFL. So I don't think it's an egotistical move.
You know, Sean brought up an interesting point, Fred, and this is something I hadn't really thought about during this week, but he brought up the point that, you know, if the Patriots do win, doesn't automatically make them, you know, a playoff contender or Super Bowl team following this year, that maybe this is the last of a great run by the Patriots. And I think we just automatically assume that because the Patriots, or we think the Patriots will win Sunday, that they're automatically going to keep winning after that.
Well, this, you know, actually, Sean says he's in the minority. He might be in the minority, but it's not that small a minority. It's, you know, there's a lot of people because Crennel and Weiss are leaving.
Exactly.
You know, you're losing your two coordinators. There's going to be some player turnover, as there is every year. This thing isn't going to last. But I think it will last. I think they'll be competitive. Now, are they going to win a Super Bowl next year?
It's hard to say.
That's the odds are against it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
But will they be competitive and be in the playoffs? I'd bet money on that because the way the organization is set up, as long as Belichick is here. I think that they're going to be competitive. If Belichick leaves, all bets are off, and depending on who comes in after him, you know, that will determine the fate. But I think he's got a program in place that is a program of perpetuation. Assuming there's no disastrous injuries in a given year, I think they're going to be competitive each and every year.
I think if there's one thing we've learned the last few seasons in the NFL, Fred, is that teams can go from top to bottom and conversely bottom to top very quickly in this league. And I don't think, you know, I think they're going to remain competitive as well. But, you know, if you lose a Ty Law, if you lose both your coordinators, if for some reason David Givens doesn't come back, teams can flip-flop very, very quickly, and you just don't know.
Right. Jennifer. Okay, a few comments and questions. I'm sick of all the T.O. talk. Westbrook is overrated. What determines what colors the teams wear? Well, that's depending on who the home team is. This year it's the NFC, so the Eagles get to choose. They're choosing their dark uniforms, so the Patriots have to wear their white. And who the home team is determined by who won the Pro Bowl the year before.
Right.
Will Ty Law be a Patriot next year? It's a good question. What do you think, Frank?
Well, that's something that we went over yesterday, and I know that Brian and Andy and I all agree, and I think you were in this as well, Fred. I think we all agree to be back next year.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I hope he will be, but...
I really do think he will. I think that it's such a coveted position, and you're talking about a Pro Bowl-level player. You can't just replace guys like him, and, of course, you can say they won without him this year, but I think if you have a chance...
I will say that they won without him this year.
Yeah, but I'm just saying anybody who's going to argue this fact would say, well, they won without him, but you... If you can keep a player at that position who's a Pro Bowler, you keep him.
It's just a matter if they want to spend the $9 million on new money on him. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
As usual, I do have one bone to pick with Jen before you move on.
What's that?
Brian Westbrook's not overrated. She's completely wrong on that.
Huh?
He had almost the identical amount of total yards that Corey Dillon did this year. So if you're going to call Brian Westbrook overrated, then who is good in this league?
Okay. She also wants to know, do guys on IR travel with the team? Normally, no. This year, they didn't come down on Sunday, but they're all here now.
Right. Saw a few of the guys around today.
Right. And who are the free agents? Well, we went over that list yesterday. They include guys like David Patton. David Givens is a restricted free agent. Adam Vinatieri, but we think that's probably a done deal. It just hasn't been announced.
Yeah, that could be taken care of.
I'm trying to think of who else. There's a number of players who are free agents. But
next commercial break, we'll get our list out.
Yeah.
Off the top of your head,
there's no earth-shattering names there. But, you know, there's a lot of guys.
Christian Fourier, I believe, is on that list.
No, I think he
signed a two-year deal?
Yeah, okay. He's all set.
Keith Traylor, I know, is on a two-year deal.
Yeah. Dylan, you'll probably see them redo his deal because next year is an option year for the Patriots, which I would hope they pick up. But you know, it's he balloons to almost I think $6 million next year. So you know, maybe they have to redo that deal.
Right.
Cornerback or linebacker with the Pats first pick. You know, it's not a big linebacking crop again. Cornerback crop is going to be good this year.
Yes.
From the early things that I've read, so I would probably think they might pick cornerback. But having said that, I will say that this is a year I think that you're going to see some new talent at linebacker.
Yeah. I think the other prevailing thought, Fred, is you know it doesn't necessarily have to be a cornerback. It could also be a safety, and Eugene Wilson could slide back to corner.
Yep.
I also think that they might throw an offensive lineman in there if they find the right guy in the first three rounds because the depth at tackle this year has not been there.
At offensive mm-hmm. tackle?
Offensive
yeah.
tackle.
I think if there's a stud up there, they'll take him. And, you know, the Patriots are most likely we know that they're going to be picking either 31st or 32nd in the draft. So
I'm surprised we haven't had more NFL draft emails this week. I remember we were starting to get them in October on the show.
Well, we had a few, but we've kind of slid them off. I mean, there's some other things to focus on right now. Let's see. Scott Washington, D.C. Well, here we go, the final show before the final game of the year. Are you pulling a Pete Carroll, getting pumped and jacked, or are you nervous about the Patriots' chances? I'm pumped and jacked.
I am too. I can't wait.
Dave Dudek, what are you?
I'm psyched.
You're psyched?
Yeah.
You sound it. Maybe you've talked about this by the time you read this email, but can you talk a little bit about why they added Billy Yates to the active roster? What does it mean in terms of what kind of financial reward he may get? Also, when PK Sam went on reserve for violating team rules, does that preclude him from getting any of the bonuses that go to the guys who are at the Super Bowl? If the Patriots win, does this mean PK wouldn't get a ring? I don't know. It's a good question.
That's a tough call.
I'm not sure. Once a guy goes on the suspension list, how long he has to stay on there, you know, what rights he has as a player under the Players Association. When Brian gets back, he'd be a good guy. He's our CBA guy.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a copy of the latest copy of the CBA in front of us, so that one's a little hard.
But it's interesting to see what they do. As far as Billy Yates, it's we don't know really exactly why they added Billy Yates. You know, maybe just to give a little depth to that line, maybe. Maybe they think the offense is going to be out there a long time, and they might need a breather.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I don't think the difference for Billy Yates, I'm not sure if being on the practice squad versus the active roster changes the bonus money that you get for playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's any difference there.
Maybe Belichick had a little side deal going on with his practice squad guys, and the guy who played hardest or contributed the most over the last 2 weeks got pulled up. I don't know. Those are the kind of little interworkings, and there's so many of them that go on every day, the decisions that Belichick and his coaches make that we don't know about. But, I mean, I know Michael Holley's book came out, Patriots Reign, but I'd love a book that just got even more in-depth than that. Not necessarily one that sensationalizes the whole thing and rips people, but just, you know, what goes into each decision.
Kind of the why.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm sure that each decision, if we do this, then it's Y. If we do the other thing, it's X. You know, they probably go over every different scenario and try to figure out what's the best decision for the team.
Certainly.
Fred, let's hear some of your absolute confidence in the Patriots. You were a rock in 2001 and 2003. Keep the faith.
Yeah, Fred, are you teetering a little bit?
No. I'm pretty sure pretty sure. That's teetering.
See, I was right.
I am sure the Patriots are going to win. I am sure that the Patriots are going to win. But having said that, the Eagles are a formidable opponent, and it's not like the Patriots, it's not like this is a mismatch. I just believe in this type of game, you know, with the little bit of edge that the Patriots have, when the Patriots have a little bit of an edge, it becomes a big edge.
I have a feeling that on Sunday we're going to see exactly how much the Patriots' experience playing on the national stage will benefit them.
Okay. Scott says, great job this week. I've been hearing horror stories about the Pats practice field they are using this week. There have been reports that the Pats are avoiding doing certain things during practice. In your opinion, could this be a problem for the game, such as timing? Well, Belichick finally said, you know, he thanked everyone at the high school today. It's the Bartram Trail Field School or something like that.
you sure about that, Fred?
And somebody said, you know, have you been able to do, you know, has it gotten any better? Have you been able to do what you needed to do? And Belichick just said, you know, we've done everything we can.
I think he said it is what it is.
Something like that.
If I'm not mistaken.
You know, but he didn't say that everything was fine, but he just said that they've dealt with it.
You know, there are a lot of things, Fred, that I dismiss really quickly when it comes to its in certain areas and impacts on the game that people like to talk about and like to write about in the newspaper and talk about on internet radio shows or radio shows or whatever the case may be. The practice field and the conditions, and if it limits how you want to prepare for the game, has a major impact, in my opinion.
Sure. Especially, you know,
that's one of the things that people should pay attention to.
You know, if guys are focused on not slipping and spraining their ankle, how can you be thinking about the route you're supposed to run, or, you know, what your assignment is, or, you know.
And especially when you're considering at the end of the season, a lot of guys are banged up. Not everyone's 100% healthy. You have a guy like Seymour who's trying to come back for the first time since December 26th. You know, if it's week one, it's not as big a deal, but there's a lot of guys who are trying not to get hurt in practice instead of focusing on what they should be thinking about.
Well, the thing about it, though, it couldn't have been that bad, because if it was, Belichick would have gotten them out of there.
Right.
You know, he's not the one to, you know, tolerate something that's, you know, that bad. So,
and, you know, and the other point, they probably haven't put a lot of new things in this week. It's not like they're going over things they haven't gone over
right.
all season.
Right.
So,
let's see. Dave from Lexington, Kentucky. I'm one of those few people that think this will be at least a 10-point Pats victory. Pats are a solid running, passing, and defending. Philly is weak running and defending the run. I think Dylan is going to be the difference and the MVP. What a story that would make. It sure would. It was nice to see Bill defend the 2002 season. People have said it was a disaster, but they finished tied for the division lead. Not quite a drop-off, though they didn't play their best football that year.
And what Dave is referring to in Coach Belichick's press conference today, a reporter stood up and said, you know, Coach, this is your third Super Bowl in 4 years, and, you know, in 2002 you had a disastrous season, or I don't know if disastrous was the word, but he said you had a bad season, and Belichick said, hey, we were 9-7.
9-7, we were tied for the lead, and the only reason they didn't make the playoffs is because they lost out on a tiebreak.
Right, and he more or less called the reporter out on the spot, and it was kind of enjoyable to see.
Yep. But Belichick didn't mention, though, that they just didn't play well that year. And,
right.
You know,
the reporter's question was he wanted to know what the difference was that year.
Yeah. If anyone that covers Bill Belichick knows, he's not going to answer what's the difference between this and that.
He refuses to rank things or categorize things
right.
or compare things.
He just won't do it. James Edwards from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Here's an interesting fact. I've noticed that since Super Bowl 34, when Kurt Warner won it, the Super Bowl MVP has alternated between going to a defensive player 1 year and a quarterback the next. If the recent trend holds true, then the MVP this year will go to a defensive player. I also heard that Corey Dillon has been picked to replace Edgerrin James in the Pro Bowl. That's correct. I think it is deserved, and he should have been selected in the first place. Another injustice corrected. Have a great game. Hope the Pats will be celebrating another title Monday. Final score, Patriots 31, Eagles 17.
Well, I definitely don't think it's an injustice that someone thought Edgerrin James belonged in the Pro Bowl more than Corey Dillon, but it is nice to see Corey get in. And Fred is kind of icing on the cake on his season. If you look at from the time they acquired him to all the questions they had about him in training camp, how is he going to fit in with this team? Above and beyond that, how is he going to play? I can't imagine a better scenario, can you?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's a 180-degree turnaround for him.
No doubt.
Christy from Drexel University. She says, I just wanted to say that I was born and raised in Philadelphia and still reside there. However, New England has my support. It sucks living here and having to deal with all the Eagles bull. I hear the Eagles fly Fly, Eagles, Fly One More Time, I'm going to throw up. I guess they have a song.
Yeah.
Eagles, Fly.
I've had a few emails in my inbox this morning from people emailing me via my articles saying Fly, Eagles, Fly. So, Christy, I know. I feel your pain.
All right. We're going to take a break now. It's the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. When we get to the other side of 1, we'll go back to your emails. We got a ton of them coming in here on PFW in Progress.
It started in Foxborough with a Ty Law interception against the Titans.
He's gonna go!
It included a Brady to Brown touchdown bomb in overtime at Miami.
And the Patriots win in overtime.
Teddy Bruschi's interception.
Fans are throwing snow.
In playoff wins in the cold, the snow, and a second Super Bowl victory. All part of history in the making as your New England Patriots won 21 straight games. NFL Films and the New England Patriots present 21, the two DVD set that is an absolute must for every Patriots fan. Highlights from every game during the historic streak, Bill Belichick's Belestrator, exclusive interviews and bonus features that include the NFL Films feature on head coach Bill Belichick and Patriots owner Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 38 ring ceremony. Watch the world champions' reactions when they receive their rings and celebrate another Super Bowl victory. 21 is available exclusively at the Patriots Pro Shop, Patriots.com, and participating Stop & Shop locations. We captured history in the making, and now you can too. Pick up 21 today.
Dunkin' Donuts brings you the Daily Latte Ritual of Stephanie Brown, motivational speaker.
Every morning, I tell the paperboy he could triple the number of people on his route. On the bus, I have all the passengers applaud for the driver. I tell the guitar player on the corner that he should be touring major stadiums. But then, around mid-afternoon, I start to drag. I'm not myself. I want everyone to fail miserably. That's when I know it's time for a Dunkin' Donuts latte. It gives me a lift, makes me feel better, and gets me back to my old self. And then once again, I want everyone to excel. I tell the hot dog vendor he should be selling steaks. I call my grandmother and encourage her to crochet a bigger and better Afghan.
Real espresso, steamed milk, made just for you. When your day needs a lift, have a latte at Dunkin' Donuts and bring yourself back.
Introducing the new cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. Served warm, delicious, and formidable. It's the ideal way to start your day. Dunkin' Donuts, bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary, limited time only.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with the Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel, league news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius Boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
NFL fans, your trough is open.
This is one time you don't have to watch your appetite.
Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Frank Caddick. Here until 2 o'clock, taking your emails and phone calls. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. The phone call is 904-940-6569. And I'm thinking that people should put us on their friends and family on their cell phones so it won't cost them any money when they call. You think that would be, you know, we're friends, right?
That's an option.
And it's the Patriots family, so we should get on your friends and family list. So, all right. That's okay.
Speed dial.
We like emails, too, and we're getting a lot of them. So, what, Dave? Nothing? He's just shaking
his head. Dave's got nothing.
He's just shaking his head over there. Hey, all the stuff on Patriots.com, I want to remind people that there is a ton of content going on at Patriots.com. We've had Frank covering the Eagles all week, Brian and Andy covering the Patriots. We've had Bob Heim and Alicia Mullen doing Patriots video news for the Eagles. Some great stuff on there. Video vignettes, Brian Lowe and Bob Doyle covering the Patriots. You know, just a ton of content up on the website right now. And, you know, you should check it out because they do it all for you.
Thanks, Fred.
Love to know what you think of it. And just excited about it. I was watching the video vignettes Bob Heim and Alicia did one for the Eagles that if I was on the Eagles, I'd be calling us up right now asking if they could have it. It was excellent. It was a thing about Terrell Owens with James Brown in the background, and it was good. I really enjoyed it.
And that's up right now on Patriots.com.
That's up in Patriots.com.
So definitely check that out.
Yeah. Yes, Dave?
No, I was going to agree with you. Very funny. Yeah. Very, very good stuff.
Yep, it's excellent. All right, Louie writes in, just signing on for today, and this may have been covered, listening to all of the analysts and talk all week, I have two areas I'd like to hear your opinions, both Pat's defensive questions. One, can we contain number five rushing? If we were to lose this game, I'm saying number five has more than 70 yards rushing.
Wow.
If we contain number five in Westbrook, we will have situations where by one-on-one coverage with number 81, who do you think will be one-on-one with Owens, and how will they do? I saw T.O.'s press conference yesterday basically telling BB not to have him one-on-one. And good job, fellas. I'm truly impressed with the commitment of the New England Patriots and keeping the fans informed. You all have many fans beyond New England.
Fred, what was the second question that he had? The first one was containing McNabb.
He says if they contain number five in Westbrook, we will have situations where by one-on-one coverage with Terrell Owens. So in other words, he's saying if they commit to five and to McNabb and Westbrook, it's going to leave with Owens and one-on-one coverage.
Right.
And you know, how
his
do you
question is
who will do it and how do you think they'll do it?
Well, I think it depends what your definition of contain is. I don't see McNabb, you know, rumbling for 30 and 40 yard gains running out of the pocket. You know, but I do think he's probably going to have his share of 5 and 7 and 10 yard gains. When you're playing a kind of zone defense and the blitzing that the Patriots do, there's some opportunities there for quarterback to run. If it has a huge impact on the game, I don't know, but I think he's going to have his fair share of runs.
Yeah. Jennifer says, pass along my congrats to Paul and his wife next time you talk to him, although that poor kid is going to be a stat geek by the time he's five. And pass along a hello to Gare since he decided to make an appearance.
Aw.
Well, I will.
Jennifer and Gare must miss each other during this week when they can't, you know, talk every day via email on the show.
They're having this phone relationship together, I guess. Julian writes, and you guys have given great coverage all week, and I really appreciate all your hard work. Thank you. On to football. Relative to the bye week that happened early during the season or other seasons, how does your feel of the two-week rest for the Pats Super Bowl Sunday compare? In addition, do you feel a good flow in preparation amidst the hoopla of media interruptions? I'm still sticking with my prediction of 31-17 Pats. Go Pats. And that's from Julian. While I don't like the two-week delay, you got to have it.
Fred, I think the players love it.
Yeah. I just think from a logistical standpoint, for the city, for the teams, you got to have a two-week period. We've done both. We've had just 1 week and we've had 2 weeks. And I can tell you, 1 week is... it's crazy. It's absolutely lunacy.
I know the players tend to get a little antsy by this time of the second week. By Wednesday and Thursday, they're probably ready to play. But I think the majority of players will tell you it's such a break on your body to have that week off that most of them like it.
Yeah. Tom in Fall River, Mass. I recently read an article where a psychic who correctly predicted last year's Super Bowl, except being off by one Panther point, and correctly predicted the Red Sox to beat the Cardinals in four games, also gave 10 predictions for this year's Super Bowl. 1, Patriots win 23-17. 2, no turnovers by Brady, who will be the MVP. 3, Brady will end the game by taking a knee. 4, opening coin toss will be heads with the Pats receiving. 5, an Eagle will suffer a serious injury. 6, McNabb will throw a few interceptions. 7, Bruschi will catch an interception. 8, a Patriots with a B to start their last name will sack McNabb. 9, Branch will catch a TD pass. And 10, Vinatieri will be 3 for 3 with field goals.
Not bad.
Okay.
Maybe we should print this out, and we can keep this and check him off on Sunday.
Yeah, well, we'll see how good this psychic is.
I did read something, Fred. I can't remember. I've read so many things this week. I can't remember where I saw this, but I believe that no city that ends in A has ever won a Super Bowl.
No city.
Because Philadelphia is 0-1.
Arizona's never won.
Right. And but I believe that they're, I think, 0-6.
Atlanta's never won.
Right. Yeah. I believe cities ending with an A are 0-6 in Super Bowls.
Okay. Corey from Vermont, if you look at the Patriots, they've been doing things their own way since Bill became the head coach. They've developed their own way of building a franchise. They have won games by doing things their way. They won the first Super Bowl driving down the field so Adam could kick the game winner, even when John Madden felt they should have played for a tie. So Bill not posing with the trophy doesn't surprise me. Bill will be Bill. Why pose with something you don't have yet? I think that the media guys go overboard with some of these events like this. Bill is not the most colorful guy, but he knows what he's doing. And you couldn't ask for a better coach than Bill. Thanks again, guys. Keep up the good work. My pick, Pats by 3.
Corey picks a close game.
We haven't had one writer, and I'm not surprised. This, after all, is Patriots.com. But no one believes the Eagles are going to win on this show. But that's okay. I don't blame them. John Walters writes in, and actually he says this is from Craig in South Carolina. He's using his boss's email.
Wow. See, here's Craig. It's Super Bowl week. He's stuck at work. He runs into his boss's office to type emails to us.
Wow.
Probably putting his job on the line, Fred.
Well, Craig is working. It's good to see he's gainfully employed.
Or even just employed.
But he may not be after his boss catches him doing this. But anyway, he says, looking forward to another Super Bowl win. I have a bet going with a guy I work with. If the Pats win, he has to shave his head. If Philly wins, I have to shave his head. Okay. Yep, I'm that confident. The biggest difference between the Pats and the Eagles is that the Pats have character and the Philly has characters. We dominated in the first two playoff games against the league's best offensive and defensive teams. We caused 7 turnovers and committed none. We outscored them 61-30. Brady has a passer rating of 108.9, and our D held opposing QBs to 68. We also were able to maintain the edge in time of possession, 33 minutes to 26:54. Paul would say that these stats have nothing to do with the Super Bowl. I beg to differ. They are a definitive indicator of how our beloved Pats step up huge in the playoffs. I have missed talking with you guys, but listen to the show every night. You guys do a great job. Hey, Andy, you calling Dylan a Richard. Oh, no, that's not good. Patriots 31, Eagles 20.
Well, Fred, there's very little question that email was from Craig because he's definitive, confident, and optimistic.
Absolutely.
And that's the Craig we know.
And fired.
And fired. You're gone. You're out of here.
Andy, you're full of crap.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The phone number is 904-940-6569. Next email is from Ryan in Salt Lake City. It says, just wanted to say thanks for all the laughs, arguments, and informative insight concerning the team this season. Hell of a job. Also, what's the general verdict on the women in Florida? Hot or not? Well, they're not hot this week. It's freezing here.
Yeah, it's raining, so you're not seeing a lot of bikinis around St. Augustine and Jacksonville area.
Yeah, we wouldn't know. We just don't get out enough to see that. Maybe tonight, tomorrow night, get out there and see somebody.
I think tonight's going to be the first night I venture out into Jacksonville.
But I've never known Jacksonville as being considered the hotbed of hotties.
What about Atlanta? What's Georgia like? Anyone?
I hear, you know, Georgia girls are pretty good looking.
I lived in Kentucky, and that's kind of where you get into the area where there's some southern belles, but I'm not sure about the Jacksonville area.
Dave, you got to get out there. How come you're not out there looking for the future Mrs. Dudek?
I'm stuck in here trying to do work.
You can go out at night.
By the time it's night, I'm exhausted.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you go out, you get them to feel sorry for you, you know. No?
So, Fred, your love advice to Duder is to get girls to feel sorry for him? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I work for the Patriots. I'm really tired, you know.
Yeah, I know the whole work for the Patriots thing doesn't work unless you're a player.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh. So you've tried it?
No.
Well, how do you know then? How do you know it doesn't work if you haven't tried it?
Because there's... You know, I mean, I'm not a player, so...
But you still work for the Patriots.
Okay, maybe I'll give it a shot.
No, there's a lot of women looking for a guy with a, you know, a job with a, you know, a place like the Patriots and, you know, be able to say that my boyfriend works for the Patriots.
Yeah, but I don't think working for the Patriots truly defines who I am, you know? It's just something it's something that I do and I enjoy and...
Well, what's the definition of Dave Dudek?
I don't think the...
You have a little background music here? No? How are you defined, Dave?
We should get back to Patriot talk.
Dave's getting embarrassed. All right. A lot of activity here. One of the cars just came back from the media center, and I saw Andy Hart, but he immediately left to go eat. You know, so.
I think Andy saw you, too.
So I don't see Brian Morey. He's probably having another interview with a coach where that he's not supposed to be having.
Fred, I would like to know what went down during the Paul Tagliabue press conference and if he talked about Detroit hosting the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to these guys when they get back here. Greg from Cambridge. Love the hype that comes with Super Bowl week, but has the media lost its mind? First, I hear slash read stories about how incredible the Eagles' offense is and that the Pats would have a very difficult time keeping them under control. Hello? Didn't we slap down the best offense in the league in Peyton Manning and the Colts' offense? What? Did the Eagles all of a sudden become better than the Colts? Second, what's up with the danger of the vaunted Philly blitzing schemes? Didn't we dismantle the best blitzing team in the league in the Steelers? It's incredible how quickly people forget. Pats dominate in this game 38-10, and that's being kind.
Wow. Greg, Greg, I love your email. I think you're right on. I don't know how Philadelphia's offense got so good all of a sudden. I guess if you listen and read the media over 2 weeks, maybe you can be convinced of it, but there's still a lot of people who think the Patriots' defense is easily has the advantage in that one.
Let's see. Jennifer, Fred, you didn't read my last comment in my first email with all the questions. The comment that specified that my entire email was just sarcasm and slightly making fun of the exact same questions being emailed in yesterday. Okay. All right. So no, Frank, I don't think Westbrook is overrated. Just tongue-in-cheek, parroting some comments I've heard the past week. Don't worry, I'm not that blind to the talent in the NFL. I actually think Westbrook is underrated.
Jen, that makes me feel so much better because Jen's got good football skills. She knows her players, and if she's going to think that Westbrook's overrated, then we have issues. We have more issues than we already have.
Okay, your faith is restored.
My faith in Jennifer is back.
All right. Let's see. Somebody sends me an Eagles vocal MP3, which I'm not going to play.
It's probably got a virus attached to it anyway.
Yeah.
I actually do play. Maybe it gives Duder something to do the rest of the day.
Let's see. Tina writes in. She's from Atlanta. She says she has great respect for the NFC Eagles, but I believe the Pats have already beaten the two best teams in the NFL behind them, Steelers and Colts. On any given day, any team can beat another team, but not on Sunday. I believe this Patriots team is better than the previous two Patriots. Patriots 31, Eagles 17. A lot of people coming up with that 31 number. That's a number that a lot of people are picking the Patriots to score.
More importantly, Fred, did Tina include anything about whether Atlanta girls are hotter than the Jacksonville girls?
I don't know. Maybe you should ask Tina if she's hot.
Tina, send us an email, Tina. We need to know this.
What does this become, pickup line here?
Well, you talk about Duda for 10 minutes.
Well, I'm trying to help out Dave.
Is that really your motivation, to help out Dave?
Yeah. Or is it just to rip me more?
No, I'm trying to help Dave out because he needs some help.
It's like shining a spotlight. It's like shining a spotlight on a horse that's been kicked.
Whoa!
Whoa!
All right. All right, Dave, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
It started in Foxborough with a Ty Law interception against the Titans.
He's gonna go!
It included a Brady to Brown touchdown bomb in overtime at Miami.
The Patriots win in overtime.
Teddy Bruschi's interception.
Fans are throwing snow.
Playoff wins in the cold, the snow, and a second Super Bowl victory. All part of history in the making as your New England Patriots won 21 straight games. NFL Films and the New England Patriots present 21, the two DVD set that is an absolute must for every Patriots fan. Highlights from every game during the historic streak, Bill Belichick's Belestrator, exclusive interviews and bonus features that include the NFL Films feature on head coach Bill Belichick and Patriots owner Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 38 ring ceremony. Watch the world champions' reactions when they receive their rings and celebrate another Super Bowl victory. 21 is available exclusively at the Patriots Pro Shop, Patriots.com, and participating Stop and Shop locations. We captured history in the making, and now you can too. Pick up 21 today.
Dunkin' Donuts brings you the Daily Latte Ritual of Stephanie Brown, motivational speaker.
Every morning, I tell the paperboy he could triple the number of people on his route. On the bus, I have all the passengers applaud for the driver. I tell the guitar player on the corner that he should be touring major stadiums. But then, around mid-afternoon, I start to drag. I'm not myself. I want everyone to fail miserably. That's when I know it's time for a Dunkin' Donuts latte. It gives me a lift, makes me feel better, and gets me back to my old self. And then once again, I want everyone to excel. I tell the hot dog vendor he should be selling steaks. I call my grandmother and encourage her to crochet a bigger and better Afghan.
Real espresso, steamed milk, made just for you. When your day needs a lift, have a latte at Dunkin' Donuts. and bring yourself back.
Introducing the new Cinnamon Stick from Dunkin' Donuts. Served warm, delicious, and formidable. It's the ideal way to start your day. Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary. Limited time only.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with the Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel, league news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius Boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
NFL fans, your trough is open.
This is one time you don't have to watch your appetite.
Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch, Frank Taddock, and Andy Hart's back from the media center.
What up, brother?
Along the way, they've lost Brian Morey. No one knows where he is. Who knows?
I don't know. We came in. Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Join us.
He's decided to join us, Brian Morey. And what's going on? What do you got in the bag, Brian?
A scarf.
Anything good? Good, good.
Yeah, we got a nice Detroit scarf.
Oh, nice. Dave Dudick. You shouldn't say that in front of Dave.
You asked.
He gets all upset.
Look at you with your Hawaiian shirt on today.
Sure, sure.
Fred, I was wondering if that was like a good luck Super Bowl week shirt.
No, I just like it. It's a very comfortable shirt, and I figured I'd be comfortable. Friday. Dressed down Friday.
Since this is internet radio, you can't see the fact that Fred has a black shirt on with little palm trees and little huts.
Well, guys, while you were gone, we had a lot of emails. We filled people in that Corey Dillon was named to the Pro Bowl, and the Patriots filled their 53rd roster spot with Billy Yates. So we've got people up to date on that. But while you're here, we'd like to know, you were there for Paul Tagliabue. We'd like to know what he said, what were some of the issues that were covered, and was there anything, any questions, any hard-hitting questions that he had trouble answering, or that you didn't like his answer?
A little bit. There was talk of the Rooney Rule in minority hiring and the fact that it doesn't cover front office jobs. There's no fine system or anything covering front office jobs. And he was asked about it once, and the answer kind of implied, he basically said there weren't enough candidates so that they could have penalties because they'd be forcing teams to interview people who weren't really qualified.
Right.
And it was followed up on a while later by a writer saying, is that what you're saying, that there aren't enough qualified candidates? Kind of softened his stance a little bit, but that was basically the gist of it, that, you know, there's not enough. And he said, you know, they're bringing people in from other industries. He mentioned NFL people that have come from the aerospace industry and accountants and different things in terms of minorities that they're hiring, but that, you know, there's not a large enough pool right now where, you know, having a fine system or some sort of penalty would be effective.
And then it was, I got to tell you, I give the media credit, because initially it was kind of like there's not enough talent, and so they came back with a question that kind of gave them a chance to,
right,
to back off on that a little
bit. Right.
It's a very difficult question to answer on his part.
Yeah, I mean, but that's why he's the big boss.
Yeah, no question.
Another interesting one from Rudy Martsky, USA Today, asked him to characterize the discussions or negotiations with ESPN and ABC in terms of
TV.
How
would you characterize them?
Not the way you characterized them last week.
Oh.
Yeah.
There was like a 3-4 second pause, and then he went into it, but he clearly kind of...
So what did Rudy Martsky say last week about that?
I don't know. We don't know. Obviously, that maybe there was some contentious negotiations going on.
Did anyone have the nerve to ask him why Jacksonville?
Well, he opened the press.
He opened with that, and then he was asked.
Well, I heard him mention that he was grateful for Jacksonville, blah, blah, blah. It's been great. But did anyone get into specifics about...
Well, Pete Shepard actually asked a very...
Oh, you're kidding.
No, he asked a good question.
Okay.
He said, basically, how can you justify... bringing a Super Bowl to a city that has only 14,000 hotel rooms and 300 taxis. And, you know, he kind of answered it same way he answered, intro'd the press conference, saying, you know, small town, you know, trying to reward cities like this that have put stadiums in and kind of that kind of thing. You know, I mean, he said, one of the things we want to do is when the people invest their money in the NFL, we want to reward that investment.
Right.
And reward, the Super Bowl is a way to do that.
Okay. And well, he also said it's a challenge that, you know, Olympic venues face in small places, and it's something you deal with, and you won't really know how it worked out till later in the week. He also did, talked about the difference between fans and some of the other people, kind of what you said. We get caught up in our highfalutin ways, I think he put it, and he said, you know, there's CEOs of companies staying on the cruise ships, and it's fine, but, you know, the fans are just excited about football and the game and being down here and having fun, and there's like a divide there.
At least he didn't try to mislead people. I mean, he went straight to the source and saying Jacksonville's being rewarded for putting in a stadium.
And I think he's right. Who is this for? And the media seems, you know, we forget. It's not for us.
But Fred, when the fans want to come here and there's not enough hotel rooms and not enough
But let's
taxes,
hear them say that. Let's hear them say it's stunk.
But they don't have the forum to say it.
Oh, we'll hear about it. Believe me. You know, but let's wait till they get here. You know, it might be true. This might be the worst place ever.
Clearly the hotel space is inadequate. It's inadequate.
Right.
There's no other way to describe it.
That's true.
I mean, we don't deal with the taxis because we're out here. You know, we're not taking a taxi from here to Jacksonville.
But I remember in Houston, there was a shortage of rental cars. That doesn't seem to be the case here. There's an abundance.
I don't know. I don't know if there's an abundance for fans. I don't know.
I don't know. I just, you know.
I think you're right, though, Fred. Let's hear it from the fans. Let's, instead of hearing media complain and hearing media's take on it, let's...
So how do you do that? How do you hear it from the fans?
I guess interviewing them, talking to them, getting out there on the street.
Calling
you know,
radio shows.
Doing your job, you know, getting out there.
I just...
Op-ed pages.
Wow!
Op-ed pages in the newspaper.
I mean, I don't think that listening to a talk radio show, you're going to get, you know, a real flavor.
I think some of them, you're
going to listen to WEI and you're going to figure out what the fans thought at the Super Bowl?
I think if they call in from here, that people that are down here...
I guess
they are the customers.
You'll get some select experiences, but I think as a whole...
How many quote-unquote fans get to come down here? No, and I'm not I don't want to talk about, you know, luxury suite holders and CEOs. I want to know the guy who makes his $40,000 a year and buys season tickets.
But even
and
that,
is a fan.
Even those people, those are one category. But even the people that come down with the teams, you know, people have a little bit more scratch to spend. They're being treated pretty well.
Yes.
I don't know what they're going to have to complain about either.
Absolutely, they get coddled.
So then, who's going to have the problem?
I'm talking about Joe Average fan.
That's what I'm saying too.
Who's downtown.
Well, you weren't listening, obviously. Andy was saying, how many of those are there?
That's the question.
Yeah.
And it'd obviously be a struggle if you buy a cheaper hotel room that's 40 minutes away, and you know there isn't a rental car, or you're having transportation problems or whatever. So. But I don't know how many of those there are. It just seems like
I remember even in New Orleans, you know, a lot of people, when there's a Super Bowl in New Orleans, have no intention of going to the game, but they go down because of the party. I remember people who are going to the game having to stay, you know, way out in Louisiana and in other states, you know, so...
It's never perfect.
And that's New Orleans.
You can't please. There's no question you can't please anybody.
Know, I think the demand of just going to New Orleans is so much bigger than, you know, Houston or Jacksonville that... There's always going to be a problem. The better the place, the more people want to come regardless. So, all right, we'll just see.
More importantly, you guys missed Brian Morey ogling the Coors Light twins.
Oh, is that
just
right?
Just embarrassing himself. I had to walk away.
Really, Brian?
Oh, I bet you had.
That's untrue.
I'm Diane.
I bet you had to walk away.
No, I did. He was embarrassing me.
That's not true.
It's not true. Did you ask a question to Paul Tagliabue?
I did not.
No? Nothing?
He asked when we were going back to Mexico.
So no earth, nothing.
Oh my God! Somebody asked that if they ever put a game. Please don't put us in Mexico City ever again.
How about China? Anybody ask questions about China?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What did they say?
He said that in 2000 he's going there soon. I don't remember what the timetable was, but to talk about two preseason games there in 2008, leading up to the 2008 Olympics.
I don't know if he said 2008.
He did.
He did, but I think he meant. Two preseason games leading up to the 2008 Olympics, so maybe you know, two different years.
Yeah,
I just hope the Patriots never go.
Well, I think you might.
How long is that flight?
Yeah, I was gonna say that would be a long flight.
What if we stop in Hawaii on the way for a couple days?
That's fine.
Oh yeah, I bet you that's in the works.
Yeah, you go talk to Bill.
Let's stop in Hawaii. That guy
doesn't stop for the Super Bowl trophy. He's gonna stop in Hawaii.
That guy. That kind of travel in the preseason hurts your football team.
Brian only has the team in mind.
Right.
I'm serious.
And you know that.
I think it has a residual.
You know, when
effect.
He played, they had one over there, and it really hurt him. He didn't hit stride till midseason.
Right. I think the travel, the jet lag, it takes away from your training camp preparation.
By the way, what did you guys think of the Lombardi Trophy walk by that occurred on
he
stage?
He snubbed
today?
Lombardi.
I have it from a good source. He's just uncomfortable taking that photo. He doesn't like to do it.
And now he's able to skip it because he's Bill Belichick bigwig. He had to do it.
He's done it twice. He figures you can get last year's same exact picture. He just doesn't have the pink shirt on.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's great.
He just doesn't. He's not. He's
Why
not.
Why do you think it's great? I think it's great. I think whatever they want me to do, if I don't want to do it, if I don't think it's right, I don't care if it's been done 100 years in a row, I'm not going to do it.
So does that just mean you can take any NFL rule you don't agree with and just not do it?
Well, I don't think it's a rule.
It's not a rule.
Screw the game. Screw the tradition.
Yeah.
Hey, he doesn't like
it. It is kind of silly.
He's
silly.
Uncomfortable taking that photo.
You're taking a pic. You pose with it after you won it. You know, there's plenty of times to take pictures of them holding it up when they've won. You know, why do you? That's a dumb. It's a dumb thing anyway, I think. So I'm with him. Josh from Amesbury. Let's see. He's got some. He wants to know how productive Brian Westbrook will be on Sunday. Okay.
Well, if you want the Patriots to win, not very.
He says over under on carries 14.
Under.
Under.
He had 13.6 per game the regular season.
I will say under.
Right. Now is that carries or touches?
Carries.
Okay.
Over under yards rushing 63 yards.
Under.
He only had 62.5 during the regular season. Over under catches 6.
Over.
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 He only had 5.6 during the regular season. Under over receiving 54. These are yards.
I'll go over.
Under.
He had 54 in the regular season. That's his average. Also, can you post those psychic predictions on Patriots.com? It'd be a fun drinking game to drink a beer every time one comes true. Enjoy the game. Patriots 41-16. Dylan MVP with 2 touchdowns over 20 yards.
By the way, Brian and Andy, a lot of votes for Corey Dillon as MVP of this game.
So we had a person write in who said there's this psychic out there that's predicted the Super Bowl within a couple points every year, and he's got the Patriots winning, and made a couple other predictions.
So now that the video game is dead, we're going to, you know, it's the psychic we'll follow for a while.
Right.
Until he's wrong, and then we'll find something else, and it'll be a goat in Minnesota that we'll listen to.
It'll be a dog who barks out the score or something.
Okay. And I'm sure people, what's the buzz down there in the media center? What's everyone talking about? You guys, you talk.
Let's play ball.
Let's play ball. Let's get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's definitely what the Eagles were saying yesterday.
What kind of locker room do they have now in New England?
It's really big.
Okay, well, somebody has
having technical difficulties.
No, somebody has a disparaging remark about Terrell Owens, and we don't need that. Even though you know,
can you paraphrase?
It's the opponent.
Even though Fred agrees.
No. Well, is Brian in a pissy mood again today?
When no, isn't he? Well, I was making a joke. How does that put me in a pissy mood?
I
do want to go eat lunch, though.
You got a bad look in your face.
What were you doing in the time that I had to come here, drop myself off, go get lunch, come back, and start the show?
Yeah, what were you doing?
You went and got lunch?
What were you doing?
And he made it to the show.
I stopped to talk to our people, our fans.
He's bigger than us.
Oh, my God.
Who farted?
Brian all the time.
Well, now, another thing I want to ask you guys, how did the thing with CNA and Ed Berliner go?
Wonderful.
Very good. Ed Berliner is good at his job.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we saw Coors Light Twins roll right after
today.
Oh, really? So now, is this...
We talk about a step up.
Is this... Will this be seen tonight on CNA?
I believe so.
Yeah, I would assume so.
That's great. That's great. So, tonight, Brian and Andy on CNA. It's if you're in the Comcast area up in Boston, you can watch that. And
it'll be on demand as well.
Yeah, and then tomorrow night, PFW, 11 o'clock, Saturday night on Channel 56 in the Boston viewing area. So You can get your fill of us the next two nights.
I'm sure they've had their fill of us.
Yeah. And meanwhile, it's Patriots.com is the email address.
How come we're not on Radio Row?
What?
That's where we should be.
Yeah, if we're there, we can't be here.
Good one.
That's all Patriots.
We could have been there, though.
Well, that's all those guys do is sit there and do their radio. We have other things that we do. Yeah, it is. It's a good gig.
Just stand there, grab people as they walk by.
It's basically a junket for them. That's all it is. It's a junket. And they sit on the radio and they talk about their accommodations for 4 hours.
Right.
That's what they do.
Because that's obviously what people want to hear is how their accommodations are.
I think that's the best job, radio. You can just show up wearing whatever you want.
You know, the money's in TV, Andy.
Yeah.
That's where the money is.
Some big money in Boston radio.
Oh, yeah, Andy. But you have, there's only a few
Andy,
people making.
Coming from someone who came up through radio, the money's not there unless you're the top of the top.
Listen to Frank over here, the seasoned veteran. What show did you host in Minnesota that you were making big money?
The Frank Show. I didn't make any money. That's what was my point.
Well, that's Minnesota.
I said there's no money in radio unless you're at the top.
47th largest market in America.
Wow, the shots are just flying around this table.
By the way, how about 17, Mr. New York City?
It was a joke. I exaggerated to prove my point.
I think they're 13 or 14. A couple 13, 14.
Okay.
Do you
a lot of sensitivity in this room today, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of sensitivity.
Fred,
Brian Maury.
Do you think there's big money in radio?
For some people, yeah.
Right.
I mean, look at Howard Stern.
Right. The top of it.
No, the top of it. If you have a show that is in the top one or two in your city, and you're in the top, and if you're in the top 10 in the country as far as media market, you're making big bucks.
Big right. money.
But for every on-air guy, there's four people that work there that that don't make anything.
Sure. Let's see. David writes in. He says, I'm an Eagles fan living in Colorado Springs. I've enjoyed listening to your web broadcast since the end of the championship series. I think a lot of the Pats fans that email you have no idea what the Eagles are about. I keep hearing the argument that the Patriots held the best offense and scored heavily on the best defense in the playoffs and therefore will stomp all over the Eagles. You should remember that you beat Indy at home and in lousy weather and that you pretty much own Indy. You also played a Pittsburgh team that wasn't nearly as dominant as they were in midseason when they both beat both of our respected teams. Big Ben wasn't nearly as crisp and confident as he was earlier in the season and was obviously
worn out. I just didn't feel real crisp.
I'm not taking anything away from those victories for New England. Your team played great. The Eagles simply beat up on the teams they had to get to the Super Bowl. Our defense is playing its best football of the season, and Westbrook is a freak of nature. The Eagles are the best overall team you will have faced this postseason.
It's a very good email. I agree with that. I think, first of all, the Steelers definitely peaked way too early in the middle of the year. But, the Eagles are a well-rounded team, and that's the difference. You can't just – and even offensively, defensively, they're well-rounded within the units as much as they are on both sides of the ball. So, you talk about Bill Belichick taking what you do best away from an opponent and making a team one-dimensional. I'm not sure, that's an easy task against the Eagles because are you going to take Westbrook away? Are you going to take potentially Owens away? Are you going to, try and shut down McNabb? Or, defensively, are you going to attack the secondary? Are you going to try and stop the pressure? Are you going to keep guys in? I mean, there's a lot of things that you have to worry about rather than, Pittsburgh. They're going to try and run the ball. You need to shut that down first, okay? If you've done that, move on. Indy, you need to shut down the pass. Move on. I think there's a much greater task at hand here.
Just to shut down the pass and move on. I mean,
you shut down the pass.
They rushed 200 yards against you in the season opener.
And you won.
I know, but it's not just a matter of.
I think you start with the pass and go elsewhere.
I agree with that. That you start with the.
Well,
pass.
Would you agree that the Colts? And we were trying to draw analogies earlier in the show before you guys got here. Is the Colts' offense deeper than the Eagles' offense?
Yes,
probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily to say that it's better or worse, though.
Well,
it's definitely
now that's
deeper.
The next. It's
definitely
deeper. So that means there's more things that you have to shut down.
Right.
Is the Colts' offense better than the Eagles' offense?
The Colts' offense is better than the Eagles'.
Yes. Here's my take. Both offenses are quarterback heavy. As that quarterback goes, so goes their offense.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is Manning is the kind of guy you want to move around. You want him to have to move out of the pocket. So you're allowed to do different things. You don't have to worry about those outside lanes the way you do with McNabb. So that limits the way that you rush him.
Right.
And I think that's the main difference between the two offenses. But I think that the Colts offense has more weapons, but you just have to attack the Eagles offense differently.
But Fred, the problem with this is that you don't deal with the Colts, is that you can do everything well on a play. And Donovan McNabb has the ability.
That's exactly what I just said.
To make a great play against you and break your back.
That's what I just said. That's exactly what I just said. It limits the way you, you know, put that pressure on, because if you're too far upfield, he's going to escape, and now you're screwed. So you just have to be careful with him, and because of that care that you have to take, it limits you a little bit. So whereas Indy may be deeper than the Eagles, the Eagles limit you in the way that you can attack because of McNabb's legs.
Wow, Fred. What? I didn't see this.
What?
Kraft faces reality on Brady.
What's that?
With quarterback Tom Brady earning...
You might want to cite the quotes
first. Profootballtalk.com.
Oh, okay. All right, so this
Well,
is,
no, it's quoting him on a
I
Boston...
I know, there's some stuff on the wall, and we're seeing if it sticks. Let's
okay,
see.
There's a quote from the owner on a Boston-area television station.
Yes.
With quarterback Tom Brady earning an eventual spot in Canton long before his 30th birthday, Pat's owner Bob Kraft can see the writing on the wall, and he's trying to ram his head into it. For what he's accomplished, it's easy for him to say he should be the highest-paid player in the NFL, Kraft told a Boston-area television station. If he does that, it will make it very difficult for us to deal.
Okay.
To his credit, Brady isn't grandstanding.
What's the station?
A Boston-area television station.
Go over the link.
You can't even say which one it is?
It's a link to the Projo.
Projo.
It's probably 10, right?
Boston.
Boston area. I guess so. Lose Providence.
I was wondering if it
was, you know,
CBB.
Okay, so you can sensationalize that statement all you want, but I think it's a fact. If Brady wants to be the highest paid football player in the world, it's going to make it tough. Mm-hmm. Now you got a tough decision to make. How do you do that? I don't think there's anything sensational about that.
What if he wins 3 Super Bowls? I mean, what do you mean, how do you do it?
I don't know.
You make a decision.
That's
are you
the
going
question.
The Colts direction where
how
you,
do you do
invest
it?
A ton of money in your quarterback, or do you say that hurts the rest of our team so much that it's not
right.
a good business and football move?
You know, you really can't have it both ways.
Yeah. How do you do it? So it is a tough – it's going to make it tough for the Patriots if he makes that kind of demand. Okay, so where's the controversy?
Who said there was controversy?
Well, Pro Football Talk. Isn't that all about sensational gossip?
It's about news.
It's
the talk of pro football.
Okay. Well, you read it to me like, oh, my God, you know, we better, like, let's run for the hills. The sky's falling.
I was trying to make it sound like it was big news.
I know you were, and I shot you down. All right.
Of course you did.
Tom in New Hampshire says, tell me what you think of Rosie Colvin's impact on this game and Kevin Falk in the short passing game to exploit the Eagles' pressure. You know, I'll tell you something. If Rosie was 100% the way he was before, this would be a great game for him. This is the kind of game where you could really use the old Rosie Colvin, don't you think?
Unfortunately, you don't have him.
You don't have him. So.
And I think the Falk is a good point.
Wait a minute.
You might try to neutralize the pass rush with some screens and some.
You don't think the owner saying it's going to be tough to deal with the quarterback if he has to be the highest paid player is controversial?
You can't let it go.
Isn't it kind of a fact?
Yeah, isn't that a fact?
If the guy wants.
Why would it make? How long did it take the Colts to do that deal with Manning? That was drawn out.
They were going
to
franchise him. It
Brian,
was coming down to the
Brian,
line.
You have a point though. I'm not saying
it's going to be an easy negotiation. He's saying it's going to be tough for us to do a deal.
Right.
Brian, I don't think the information is a fact like these guys said, but the fact that the owner is acknowledging it publicly, that's news. That's controversial.
I don't think so. I think it's a fact. I mean, It's going to be tough, whether
right.
it's the negotiation or just the decision to go into a negotiation with the ultimate goal making this guy the richest man in the NFL. That's tough.
I mean, was it controversial when Brady discussed it the other day and said, you know, it's a personal decision and sometimes the team goals have to supersede individual goals and, I'll have to make that decision when it comes down to it. Unfortunately, as a player, you can't offer yourself money.
And here's the thing. Negotiation that for that, it might be a year from now, might be next week, it might be six... But everything that each side says, Kraft on one side and, you know, Pioli, assumedly, or Belichick, and on the other side, Brady and his everything they say from this point on is part of that negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the posturing that is going to begin that negotiation. So you do need to read those words carefully,
yes.
Everything that they say, because Kraft is sending a message. If that's what you're going to do, it's going to be tough. So just be ready for it. We're not going to, lie down for you.
And Brady's saying, I'll have to make a decision.
Right.
I'll think about it. I may, I'll think about leaving.
Exactly. So everything that the two sides say from this point on is part of the negotiation. Scott Washington.
Oh, can I read something here?
Go ahead.
It says, talks about Brady understanding that other people's sacrifices have helped the team be successful, and they guess that he won't ask for Manning money. But it says, still, we suggest that Mr. Kraft choose his words a bit more carefully when commenting publicly about Brady's situation. Although the salary cap limits the total amount that Kraft can pay to his players, Kraft is hardly a free spender when it comes to wages that aren't controlled by a league-wide ceiling. So this is getting a little controversial, taking a little shot at the owner
well,
here.
Now that, yeah, but now this is one man's opinion.
And right. We suspect that there's a certain amount of quiet resentment in some corners of the organization, given that there's been little huge financial reward. So even if Brady doesn't get his nose out of joint, some within...
You could at least lean away from the microphone.
I didn't know it was going to come out. Some within the building.
Do you not have any control?
Functions.
Both ends. You just let it come out and say, I didn't know.
It just happened.
You have no nerves.
If you're going to burp into the microphone while you read it and stuff your mouth with steak, I mean, let's just move on.
I'm done reading it.
Okay?
You talked over me.
Is that all right? Can we move on?
All right.
Okay. Question. When Tagliabue was giving his opening statement, there was something I was thinking you guys are going to be, Fred's wrong. When he said that
when he said they're a dynasty,
you can argue that the Patriots and the Eagles are dynasties. Well,
yes,
how can
I
you
thought
have
of
two
you.
He contradicts himself.
No,
how can you have two dynasties at the same time?
I believe he said on the verge of laying claim to the dynasty to a dynasty or something like that.
Is that right?
So they both are laying the foundation for a dynasty.
I agree with that.
One is closer than the other.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
One could take that step on Sunday.
And they won't with that step on Sunday. Many, many more steps have to follow. Scott from Washington. Fred, what is the Patriots.com schedule after today's show? Will there be any more media other than PVN available through Patriots.com today or on Saturday? Good question. There won't be any more Patriots.com after today until next Wednesday. There'll be an update tomorrow. You got an Eagles update?
I have an Eagles update for tomorrow.
We'll have some type of update from the Patriots, but remember, tomorrow's lockdown day. There's nothing going on. There's no access to players, coaches. The fans won't even be able to get close to the hotel. They're going to shut this place down. So there's not much going on. It's sort of like the lull before the storm on Saturday. Plus, we got to pack up all our stuff and go anyway. So we got to
break down the office studio.
We got to break down all our equipment tomorrow morning. So even if we wanted to, we couldn't do anything for you. So unfortunately, then next week we start our off-season schedule with Patriots.com. That's Wednesday at noon.
We'll be discussing the parade.
Hopefully. That'd be nice. I'd like to discuss the parade. How's that steak, Brian?
Good, Freddie.
Good.
Hey, they got a picture of Ty Law's little, I don't know what you call it in the paper.
Scooter.
Yeah.
Just to clarify for all you guys who went the wrong way on that comment.
Oh, whoa.
You gotta be careful with what you say, Andy.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like a skateboard slash walker slash scooter slash...
Right.
Let's see. Doug from Blackstone says, Andy, Brian wasn't embarrassing you. You spotted the buffet. What does that mean?
I think he's talking about the Coors Light Twins. No, the food was a big-time letdown at the media center. Like, nothing. I had one little...
Hadn't you been there before? In the media room?
There was nothing.
Right, but you'd been there before today, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing
had
before
more
today.
Stuff. The other day they had, like, oysters and stuff.
Ah.
And... You know, in recent years, they've had real food.
We never really answered Tom's question about what you think Rosie Colvin's role will be or his
same
impact.
As it's been. I think his impact will be limited, as it's been all year, and his role will be to rotate in with those other two guys. And
yeah, I expect his role to be just as it has been all season.
I expect him to come out and have a huge game, and I also don't really expect him to, you know, make a lot of mistake. You know, see Don McNabb running right at him because, oh, Roosevelt Colvin can't play. I mean... It is what it is right now with Roosevelt Colvin.
I think he's an interception.
Average player.
Jennifer writes in, not sure if you guys are getting all the news on Powers down there, but if you aren't, you should definitely check out Boston Sports Media. It seems that this is far from the first time Powers has done such a thing.
Whoa.
The BSM website has several examples from Powers and plagiarized pieces. I'd say that Powers isn't just done at Gazette. A future working for any publication is pretty much shot.
That seems to be the perception.
Yeah, we've heard that as well.
I guess he was on TV last night, too.
Oh, is that right?
I heard that from somebody in the media center that he was on a New England station last night, kind of saying the same thing, I guess, the statement said that, you know, 20-year career, and this is not right. And
wow. But, you know, now
he, what was the final part of that?
Just, like, it's not right. He's had a 20-year career. I don't know if they use the word spotless or...
Well, apparently, it wasn't. Now they're going back and looking at his stuff, and they're finding...
paragraphs here and there, I guess.
Yeah, so that's not good. I mean, that's career suicide.
Yeah.
So, you know, no more taking... So all those people that lift the stuff off PFW, you know, we should probably start comparing what we write to what these guys write.
I know for a fact there are websites that steal it.
Yeah, we've caught people taking stuff from our from our paper, right? Brian doesn't know. He's not even...
He's eating.
He could care less.
He's not participating
last
in the show.
Last regularly scheduled show until the off season.
He's coasting.
And he's coasting. He's, you know, not giving it at his all, you know?
He's kind of like the guy in The Apprentice who gets the exemption in the boardroom and doesn't have to.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm a dog. Like, when I have food in front of me, I it's hard for me not to eat it. I'll try not to eat it.
I'd like to eat.
I figured you already did.
No, I haven't eaten yet. I had a muffin.
I'm not going to believe your own crap.
Well, I won't eat any more until the end of the show.
You know?
Good.
So, well, we only have about 10 minutes. So, give us your final thoughts. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. Webradio@patriots.com. If you haven't already emailed in, do so now. Let's get your prediction for Sunday. I want to know if there's anyone out there who is a Patriots fan, but thinks the Eagles are going to win. Probably not at this point. You know, but, you know, if you do, we're not going to kill you. If you really think that the team isn't going to win, I've picked against the Patriots this year and lost.
This week, wow.
This loss, you know, I've been wrong. I'll admit that. But, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world for a fan of one team to, you know, think that their team just doesn't have what it takes that week. But we'll see. I think you'd have to be crazy to be a Patriots fan and not think they're going to win this week. You know, because if ever there was a time to, you know, be proud of your team and boastful of your team and confident in your team, this is it. This is it.
You're in a no fear zone right now as a fan. You have no worries.
At the beginning of the show, Fred said this: the both teams were very good. It's a very balanced game. It's going to be close.
So you should have worries. So any game like that can, you know, change on a big special teams play or a turnover or who knows what.
I just think that I think the Patriots have a little bit of an edge in this game, and I think that a little bit of an edge for the Patriots is a big edge because of, you know, what they do in preparation and coaching. And how seasoned the players are in a game like this, you know, I think it makes a difference, and I think that little edge becomes a big edge.
I agree. Yeah. No, I think that's a good point.
But in a way, I mean, do you expect this to be a tight game that comes down to the wire like the other two?
Down to the wire.
I mean, literally, the other two ended, you know.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think this will be one of those games where the second half people are turning off.
No.
And there's been a lot of Super Bowls like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that I think it's going to be, you know, where the Patriots are in control. Eagles, if they do a couple things, could get back in it, but they just won't be able to.
You know? I expect that there's going to be a score in the final 2 minutes of the game that decides this game.
Wow.
I think it's a very close game.
See, I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's a game that's double-digit lead for the Patriots and not out of reach, but they feel relatively comfortable for the second half of the game.
Well, I can tell you, if the Patriots start being able to get to McNabb, this game is over. Yeah, over.
Based on his season, and I know you'd say the same thing about Roethlisberger, you'd say the same thing about Manning, they, you know, great years. He's had a great year, his best year, you know, 30 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Right.
You know, cut down on his running. That's one thing I think. If I'm a coach, I think I'd say to him this: I know you've tried to establish yourself as a pocket passer and, you know, a traditional quarterback. If you see it, go.
I think in a one-game situation, judging by what he said this week, he's fully prepared to go back to that.
I think they could be really benefit from, you know, 8 rushes for 65 yards.
Right.
Him. I think that could really help that offense a lot.
All right. We got up a few minutes left in the show. Let's go around the table here. And we won't stop with us four. We'll ask everybody in the room what the predictions are. Let's start with Michelle Muse. Michelle is our graphics director for the Patriots. She does Patriots Football Weekly, the yearbook. She does stuff for all the different departments. Michelle, what is your prediction for this game? She says Patriots. What's the score?
I'll go with 31-3.
31-23. Another 31 score. A lot of 31. She's enjoying her. Maura O'Brien helps Michelle with the graphics and very good flair for originality. And
both and single ladies, yeah, if you're interested.
Both single, Maura and Michelle.
Send photos.
Email davedudak.com for contact.
Yes. Subject Maura.
Okay,
or Michelle.
Maura, what's your prediction this week?
Eagles 21-14.
Maura, we'll see you later.
You're not allowed to have that opinion.
Dave Dudek of DaveDudek.com. What's your prediction?
Patriots 24, Eagles 17.
24-17, Dave Dudek. Trent Adams, what is your logarithmic equation answer for this game? Yes. One half of the total score will go to the Patriots, and the remainder will go to the Eagles.
Isn't that a tie? One half the total score, and we get the remainder. Wouldn't that be a tie?
Keith Nordstrom. Keith Nordstrom's been one of our team photographers through the season. Keith, what is your prediction for the Patriots and Eagles? Say it loud. Patriots what? What's the score? You got to give me a score. 24-10 Patriots. Brian Lowe, producer and host of Patriots Video News. What do you got?
30-24 Patriots. Eagles are stopped on fourth down near midfield at the end of the game.
Okay, 30-24 with a big stop on fourth down at midfield by the Patriots.
Fourth and 27 gets tipped up in the air maybe, but falls on the field.
Bob Doyle, PVN editor extraordinaire. What is your prediction for the game? 28-17 Patriots. MadeUpNews.com. Okay, and will there be a streaker?
Yes.
There will be a streaker.
Will you be streaking?
Okay, Bob Heim, who's helped us with the editing, filled in for Bob when he wasn't feeling too well and came down with us to the Super Bowl to do all the Eagle stuff with Alicia Mullen. Bob, what is your prediction? 31-13 Patriots, says Bob. Another 31 score. That seems to be popping up a lot. Tian is from MIT. He's been translating all our Patriot stuff into Chinese.
He's good at it.
All season.
That's and, what he does.
Tian, what is your prediction this week?
Also based on the Nyquist sampling.
Nyquist sampling.
I think it's
going to
be
27-24. 27-24 who? Patriots. Okay, Tian, he. All right. So that's our extraneous people. Now back here into the round table.
Wow.
Hey. What are you talking about, extraneous?
Well, I mean, as far as they're outside here.
PFW mutiny.
They're outside. All right. Frank Tadic.
I'm going with Patriots 23, Eagles 20.
23-20. Okay.
Patriots 35-20.
35-20. Brian Morey.
Patriots 20, Eagles 16.
20-16? Okay, relatively low scoring.
Brian, you're on the same path as what
okay, I'm going to say Patriots 34, Eagles 20, but the last touchdown doesn't get scored till late, so it's in question up into the fourth quarter, but a two touchdown win by the Patriots.
One quick, did you make the announcement on Paul Perillo's?
Yes, I did. Paul Perillo is a proud father, 8.1 pounds.
On the Richter scale.
William
8 pounds, 1 ounce.
William Alfonso Perillo. And word is that he came out arguing.
Alphonse.
All right.
Well, I guess I can't call him Fonzie anymore.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW. Go Patriots. We'll see you next Wednesday, win or lose, at noon.